It's 6:36, and it is They Drive with Dust. Remains of the Week, wherein Beryl Wiseman, the last angry man, and yours truly, dissect the events of the last 5 days. And
Jim,
Beryl?
Jim?
Yeah, sorry.
Jim?
Yeah,
before we dissect the past 5 days, can I get 30 seconds?
Well, you're going to take them anyway, even if I
No, this is your show. I'm asking permission. I respect is due to my senior.
Spit it out.
In all seriousness, tomorrow is January 27th, and normally I would do this on air like I did last year, but it's the 62nd anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, and I won't be on the air, and I wanted to read something that a listener named Ellen sent me. It's a short quote from Adolf Hitler. "Yes," he said, "we are barbarians. We want to be barbarians. It is an honorable title. Providence has ordained that I should be the greatest liberator of humanity. I am freeing men from the dirty and degrading self-mortifications of a false vision called conscience and morality." And Ellen added, "Hitler knew, liberate people from conscience and morality, free some from the threat of prosecution, and they will act out their basest instincts. And yes, there will be no shortage of willing executioners."
Yeah, oh, that's that resonates, as they say, huh?
On many levels through many decades. Yeah. Not all with the seriousness of the Holocaust period.
Yeah, right up to and including now, and the abdication includes everything from our indifference to puppy mills to our inability to see the injustices in Darfur or anywhere else.
You got it. You see, I knew where you'd run with it, and that's exactly where I wanted to run with it.
Good. Good,
that's
good.
The prism we got to look at any week through.
Okay, so here's one, and this is politically incorrect what I'm about to say, so hang on to your head.
Oh, hell, they'll shoot both of them.
Mahar Arar has won the RCMP incompetence lottery, $10.5 million, another $2 or $3 million for his lawyers and their legal fees. That's what it is.
It is.
But the fact is that a senior U.S. official says it's Arar's personal associations and travel history that will continue to keep him on a U.S. security watch list, notwithstanding what Stockwell Day and Stephen Harper have said, pleading with the Americans to take Mahar Arar off the list. I find it more than passing strange. Whatever Mahar Arar did or didn't do, that we're trying to tell the Americans how to run their country.
It's more. What bothers me is not just that the Americans can take care of themselves, but that we in this country don't even understand that the O'Connor inquiry had nothing to do with Arar's guilt or innocence or associations. It had only to do with the problems in the way he had been turned over in America to the Syrians, and people are now lionizing him as some kind of hero, and a lot of the stuff that's in the background cannot be brought
up. Don't think for a second there's not a lot of seething resentment out there that the Canadian taxpayers aren't.
$12.5-13 million. They might resent the money, but you know what? I really think most Canadians went bought into this whole thing that, oh, he was poorly done by. And I'll tell you why. I took on in print and in action the case of Abdul al-Malki, who was just a Canadian guy, went back to Syria to visit his family, and he was nabbed at the airport for a year and a half. Abdul al-Malki, nobody from Foreign Affairs called Syria in his case. Nothing happened.
No. And we did nothing about William Sampson, who was being sodomized in a Saudi prison.
And you know why? Because Arar was able to call on the whole bloody network of, you know, the neo-Islamist network from CARE on down, and the press buckled. When I saw the Globe and Mail put his picture facing the picture of a Canadian soldier as Canadian Men of the Year, I wanted to upchuck.
Well, there.
It's wrong.
This is a feckless, silly country. So should he look. I mean, the RCMP has blundered because of the incompetence of their political masters. The RCMP has blundered.
I'm glad you added that.
I can only say that they bought, sold, and paid for lackeys of whoever's in power. So the RCMP has blundered on the Mulroney Airbus inquiry, that probe, $2 million, even though the jury is still out on whether money actually changed hands.
Jim, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to get back to what you said just 1 second ago about Arar. The Canadian government, the politicians, never picked up the phone on Sampson, never picked up the phone on Arar, never picked up the phone on al-Malki. The RCMP can't pick up a phone and say, why have you got our guy? I mean, they act when the Solicitor General tells them to go and act. Only the politicians can stop it. The RCMP is not the FBI.
No. No, you're absolutely right. And we should remind people, the RCMP doesn't work in a vacuum. The CSIS doesn't work in a vacuum. They have very powerful political orders that they operate from, and they're under very close surveillance. Anybody that believes otherwise is wrong. We got to take a quick break. We're continuing with the remains of the day. Beryl Wiseman, Jim Duff here on the new 940, 641.
You're listening to the most opinionated talk show host in Montreal, Jim Duff, on The Drive with Duff on 940 Montreal.
Well, actually, I got two more of the most opinionated people in Canada on the line. We've got Beryl Wiseman in studio, Last Angry Man. And out in Edmonton, we got Lauren Gunter. I'll bet it's colder here than it is in Edmonton, Lauren. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, freezing our tushies off.
Yeah, so first time this winter, I'm feeling real bad for you.
It's first anniversary and of Stephen Harper's election and the Harper government's accession to power. And I think a lot of Canadians, even those people that have not traditionally supported the Conservatives, are saying, "Well, you know what? All things being equal, he's the best of the bunch at this point. We do not want an election." I think even Stéphane Dion is saying that.
I think there's a lot of people who don't want an election, and that puts the Conservatives in a very enviable position because they have buried in their legislative agenda two or three landmines that they can trip whenever they need to call an election, whenever they think the polls are favorable to them or the conditions are just right for them to go to the electorate. But, you know, you have the Bloc who don't want to go at least until after the Quebec election because a lot of their workers are going to be tied up working for the PQ. You have the NDP who are reluctant to go because if the polls hold consistent with where they're at now, the NDP go from 29 seats to 12, maybe. You know, the Green Party maybe picks up a few. The Liberals scoop up a few of the left-leaning ridings. And the Libs don't want to go because they have no money. So you've got all three opposition parties quite happy to keep the government in power, even though they may want to make it look as though they're reluctant to keep the government there. But you've got, even for instance, yesterday, you had both the Conservatives and the NDP making noises about automated teller machine fees, ATM fees.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding these strange bedfellow arrangements, which they're all prepared to engage in for at least a few more months. I don't think we're going to see an election this spring. I mean, there was a talk of always there was going to be March or April. But I do think we'll see one perhaps before the Ontario election in October.
Okay, so you're thinking fall. I've heard as late as 2008.
Oh, yeah, well, for sure. I mean, I could see it going that far. But it's one of the situations where, for a while, everybody was talking themselves into a spring election. Now everybody's talking themselves into a 2008 election. The dynamics will eventually overtake all of them, and they'll realize that the electorate, while it says it doesn't want an election, really is tired of minority government and wants to see if somebody can win a majority in the next one. But, you know, can we just, before we go on, and I like this topic, can we just go back to what you guys were talking about before the break with Arar and the RCMP?
Go ahead.
I think the biggest problem in all of this is that in the 1970s, the commissioner of the RCMP was made the equivalent of an assistant deputy minister in the Solicitor General's office, and he reports to a politician. I mean, we don't make the Commissioner of Privacy or the Commissioner of Freedom of Information or the Auditor General or the Chief Electoral Officer report to a politician. All those people report to Parliament. Yet the Commissioner of the RCMP is essentially a mid-level bureaucrat, a senior-level bureaucrat, but not a real senior bureaucrat.
And I think, under a minister is what you're saying.
Think the fact that they get themselves tangled up in these politicized investigations is a direct result of the fact that the commissioner cannot tell the Solicitor General to go take a flying leap. We are the RCMP, and we don't do that here. He feels obliged to do whatever the political masters want him to do because he's really just a bureaucrat in the department.
And you know, this is borne out.
Yeah, that makes sense. But on the other hand, sorry.
It's okay, Jim, but this has been borne out. I've asked people within the RCMP, and, you know, one of our regular guests here is Sylvain Leroux, who's a public affairs spokesman for the RCMP in Quebec. Just how much leverage does the commissioner have? And as he explained, he can only respond to the Solicitor General, his boss, within the law. In other words, you were talking about Mulroney. Let's even go into more recent times. Let's go to the Beaudoin case. Or the O'Neill case, where there was massive invasions of privacy and really some serious issues here. The commissioner has the authority to say to the Solicitor General, I'm not going to do this because, yes, you have the power to order us to investigate, but the way you want us to investigate, for example, contradicts the charter. A commissioner has the power to do that and the right to do that, but it's a matter of will. Because sure. It is, as Lauren said, a politicized system.
Sure it is. But, you know, you have the Auditor General who stands up to the government regularly because she knows that her job is not on the line. Her job is not at the pleasure of the minister. Her job is protected by Parliament. So because she gets to... Why is it that the auditing of the government's books or its use of the access to information laws or its protection of privacy is more important and therefore more in need of an independent guardian than law enforcement in the country? I mean, it's ridiculous that we have not made the commissioner of the RCMP an officer of Parliament. The government can appoint him or her, but then after that, he or she is answerable only to Parliament and not to the minister of the day. So you don't get the Baudouin.
And you know what else is interesting, guys? You guys know this, so let's speak to the audience. There's a perception in the country that the RCMP is our FBI. Well, it's not, because, as Lauren said, the RCMP is a police force. The FBI are federal agents. But the interesting thing is that the FBI, which was set up as federal agents with responsibility only in five jurisdictions, American presidents have been very reluctant to flip over FBI directors, you know, J. Edgar Hoover being the preeminent case, but generally they've been really reluctant, even though the FBI is really just federal agents, like the Secret Service are federal agents. RCMP actually started out as an independent national police force.
Well,
and then
we
was politicized.
Yeah. We got to take a break. You're right on all counts, but I want to change topics as well. I want to swing into a couple of other things, including Dion Gomery's ghost in our next segment. This is the remains of the day on the new 940 Montreal. Lord Gunter out in Edmonton, Beryl Wiseman in studio, The Last Angry Man. I'm Jim Duff. Hey, it's 6:55 as we continue to dissect the week. Beryl Wiseman, Lorne Gunter out in Edmonton. I wanted to get Lorne, your reaction to Stéphane Dion and the ghost of Gomery that resurrected itself briefly here before it was smashed down brutally.
Matt, well, yeah, I'm not so sure how brutally it was smashed down. They were backpedaling furiously, but you know, once he'd raised the specter of bringing back at least some of the 10 people who in late 2005 had been banned for life by Martin from the Liberal Party for their involvement in the sponsorship scandal, it just simply resurrected an issue that the Liberals had hoped was long dead. I mean, they'd hoped when they elected Stéphane Dion as their leader, with his professions that he knew nothing about what was going on in AdScam, that they put the issue behind them, and then he stepped right in it, if you will.
he sure did. How did it resonate out west?
You know, it wasn't a huge story out here. It was one day in the papers, and then there wasn't a whole lot of follow. The story came up after the Liberals had already, after Dion had already backpedaled and said, well, you know, it's not really a big thing for me. I was just theorizing in an interview with an unexpected question, blah, blah, blah. But I think what it's indicative of is that Dion could be quite a disaster for the Liberals under the pressure of an election. That if he gets these unexpected questions, as he's going to in any campaign, and he can't think more quickly on his feet than he did in that one, that could become the issue for 3 or 4 days in a national election, which is enough to turn the tide.
Well, let me get in on this, since I was there dead at ground zero. Here's the problem that Liberals have. You know, they can claim to want to ban all the people they want. And some people that were, quote, banned were banned because Gomery named them for blame. Others that were banned, like me, were banned because LaPierre and I have a bit problem going way back. I attacked Martin at Gomery and in the press, and Jim, you and I did as well. And the very next day, Pablo Rodriguez, who's head of the Quebec wing of the party, said, well, we can't really ban anybody because, you know, certainly not people who weren't named for blame. This was a political get back at you. And as Ian McDonald wrote in my case, the only reason that I was on the list was because there's no room in the Liberal Party for dissent. And that's the problem. You can't just say, I'm going to bring somebody back. The Liberals will never rid themselves of the Gomery quote, scandal, Gomery as a code word, because Gomery was a whitewash. They will rid themselves when there's a liberal leader that stands up and says, look, Gomery was wrong because it was an abuse of due process. Gomery was wrong because it didn't go far enough and was a deflection of Martin's scandals. Gomery and Martin and LaPierre was a false strategy and a horribly defective process, and we're ashamed of it just as much as we're ashamed of the ad companies that overbilled the government and of the guys that handled dirty cash. It's not, it can't be just the ad scam guys, because this country was almost lost to a corporate oligarchy under Paul Martin. So
bingo.
When a liberal
there
leader stands up and says a pox on everybody, and we're bringing back who, just because somebody was an enemy of LaPierre and Martin, it's not good enough to be banned. They got to be, let's see that they were blamed for something before anybody's banned.
Well, and in Cote's case in particular, he admits to having distributed $120,000 to 21 different ridings, but he doesn't admit who he gave it to or how much he gave them.
Sure, but he didn't admit either one. Another thing that Lauren remember, he didn't admit it was dirty money. There is nothing in the law, as Duff Conacher has said on my program many times, to stop the use of cash. Unless, of course, it's proven to be dirty cash. And the reason Dion mentioned Cote guys, remember, is that in Quebec East, which is everything north of Laval, in Quebec province, all the way up, Marky Van Cote's organization is loyal to Marky Van Cote.
Yeah,
not
and
to anybody
nothing,
else.
And there's nothing else out on the ground.
You got it.
Stéphane Dion is going to rapidly discover.
One more thing. It's like Andre Beauclair today saying, well, you know, he's going to rethink the PQ alliances with organized labor in this province. Well, they got no organizers.
We're out of time. Listen, we're going to do this again. And Lauren, thank you very much for playing. That's Lauren Gutter out at Edmonton. Barrow Wiseman, Last Angry Man.
The Contact Sport.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Thanks to Chris Bumbry and Stephanie Tsirtziadis for putting the show together, and we'll do it all again on Monday.